Okay, good. That leads right into my sermon. Perfect. Hallelujah. This church, particularly this service, is, how do you say, very slow moving. I grew up in a Baptist church, and my home church in America is Ocean View Baptist Church, San Pedro, and Pastor Rich Freeman mentored me in ministry, basically how to do church, and you could time his messages so that anytime he started the sermon, it always finished at 11:55. So that there was 5 minutes left for the closing song and the benediction. So whenever he said his final words, you looked at your watch, it was 11:55. And everything in the service, in the church service, was just, there was no dead time, no silence of waiting, anything like that, because everything was very smooth and very rehearsed. And very practiced, including his messages, including all the songs. And I came up out of that. I grew up in that, and I was trained in that. Yeah, you know, I come to this church, and I'm sitting there, young man, 23 years old, and we're waiting for the next testimony, and people are forgetting what they want to say, and they're like, what should I say on the Bible today? Or we have microphone problems, projector problems, every problem you could think of. And I kid you not, every single time I thought, Jesus, what's the deal with this church? What's going on? And every single time you say, Chris, it's not your church. It's my church. I do my church how I do I want to do it. So you just sit down, shut your mouth, and relax. And I tell you what, it's my favorite time of the service is testimony time. Not because the sermon's bad or the music's bad, but because you will not find this type of openness and warmth and sharing, vulnerability, in most church services because they're too big or they're too rehearsed. And the special song is always set, and this, that, and the other. They have the program, but we're fortunate. We don't have a service after this, so we can just hang out, kind of. And so that's a blessing. I'm talking today about church and leadership, and I want to just say some things from our text about how we do church. Not just in this church, but how we do church in every church. Because many of you will go back to your home country. Will go back and rejoin a church. Or you'll have to find another church in the new place that God puts you. And so it's always very important to have a good biblical understanding of how Jesus runs his church. Because it can be perfectly rehearsed or practiced. Or it could be something like this, is it still church? And is what the pastor is saying still from the Bible and things like that. So we want to talk a few things about that, but taking it from the text. And also about leadership in general, because what God is telling us through this text is not just for the church's leaders, but for anybody who is in a place of leadership that God has put them in. And that pertains to husbands, fathers and mothers, and anyone who is responsible for people. So, church and leadership. So we're in this 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 through 4 together, and then we'll go underway. So let's read together, starting to the elders among you. Let's read. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. The very words of God. Amen. We're in the book of 1 Peter, and it says there in verse 1, I appeal as a fellow elder. That I is Peter. Peter himself is writing to this group of five churches or five areas of churches. And he is saying, me, I am an elder as well. I want to tell you that an elder in the Bible equals pastor. If you read elder, you can read pastor. In other places, you'll read bishop equals pastor. So there's pastors, bishops, elders. Those are three words that are found in the Bible that mean pastor. And in church, what we have is a pastor. That word wants to emphasize the kind of person that takes care of people. He is a person that leads in a caring way. That's the word, what pastor means. It comes from a shepherd. The word bishop, which also means pastor, is a person who leads the church but is responsible for protecting and guarding against false teachers and false doctrine and wolves. Talked about that in a minute. Another word is elder, which is used here and most often for the term for a pastor in the New Testament. Elder means a person with experience in the faith, not necessarily a person with white hair. Otherwise, I would not qualify. But a person who has studied the scriptures, who has lived and walked in the faith a long time. A male who serves in leading the church and is living a life of maturity in Christ. So those are all meaning pastors. So Peter is saying to the pastors among you, I appeal as a fellow pastor, witness of Christ. So Peter is talking to the leaders, the pastors of these churches. He's in verse 1, he's saying, I have something to tell you of great urgency. And he's giving the qualification of his appeal. In verses 2 and 3, he's giving that message. What is that appeal to the leaders? And then in verse 4, he's saying who it is that we ultimately follow. Because it's not that leaders are on this stage alone. It's that leaders are people who have followers because they are following the ultimate leader, and that is Jesus Christ. Peter says in verse 1, a fellow elder. I want you to think of a war, of a battle that's just raging, and people are fighting to the teeth and just risking their lives. And all around them, it's just chaos and noise and death. And there are leaders in the middle of this battle who get a message from their general. And their general, he's saying, I have something that will encourage you and that will help you. But understand this. As your general, I'm not talking to you as someone who is in an office with a group of other generals and maybe a headset and looking at a screen and directing things. I am a general who is in this battlefield with you. And I'm telling you, as someone who fights not above you, but right beside you. And he's saying, as a fellow pastor, so as a fellow fighter with you, this is something that I go through, and this is something that I deal with, and these are the things that I've had to walk through, and I want to give it to you as well. So Peter, this is an amazing thing, because Peter himself is the top general in the Christian church at this time. And he could have said, I appeal to you as your apostle. I appeal to you as your supreme leader. But no, he says, no, I'm not about that. He says, I appeal to you as your fellow elder, which means he's showing his humility. And he's showing that there is someone higher than him that he wants us to remember when we think of leadership. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Why does he say this? Why does he talk about Christ's sufferings and the glory to be revealed? If you flip back, if you look up the page in your Bible, in chapter 4, verse 13, we have some keys that will help us here. Verse 4, he's talking about, verse 12, chapter 4, verse 12. He says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you. He's talking about what's going on around them. There's a lot of persecution, and it's not going to get lighter. It's going to get hotter. It's going to be more difficult. Look down to verse 17 of chapter 4. It is time for the judgment, for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? He's saying, there's fire all around us, and it's difficulty, and guess what? It's God who is allowing these things to happen in our lives. And he's saying that judgment is starting at the house of God. And if you read the Old Testament, he takes that from Ezekiel, where God tells Ezekiel, I'm going to start with the priests of the temple, and I'm going to test the priests. I'm going to test the leaders first. And then I'm going to move out from there to the city of Jerusalem. And so if there's going to be anybody who's going to get in trouble, if there's anybody who's going to get into the fight and has to walk through the fire, it's going to be the leaders first. And so a good leader, a good person, a person who's willing to be responsible for his people, will not tell his people, you go ahead, walk into the trouble, I'll be praying for you. A real leader, a real person who takes responsibility for his people, leads the charge, walks into the fire. And Peter says, as a fellow elder, as one who is living this life in the fire with you right now, I make this appeal to you. I'm telling you what leadership is. I'm telling you how to be a leader. So if you're a follower, if you have a supervisor, if you have someone that you are submitting to, this is their test. This is how you should, this is the magnifying glass that they should be examined under. So Peter gives, in verse 2 and 3, three major issues for a leader. In verses 2 and 3, he gives three major tests or major pitfalls or problems that a leader could experience and three ways to get out of that. And I don't want to be super practical. I want to give you the word, but I love how Peter gets right here. He says, number one, in verse 2, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers. So shepherds is where we get the word pastor from. God's flock is the church. The church. I am part of God's flock. Pastor Kevin is part of God's flock. Pastor Hiroshi is part of God's flock. Just a quick something I think is important for you to know. When Pastor Hiroshi and Pastor Kevin laid hands on me to ordain me for being a pastor at this service, this church, Pastor Hiroshi said, you are not an associate pastor, and I am not the head pastor. He doesn't consider himself that. Pastor Hiroshi said, you are one of the pastors at this church, as is Pastor Kevin, as I am, Pastor Hiroshi says. He doesn't see me as someone subordinate, he doesn't speak to me as that way. He is the head pastor of this church. But he sees this as a group of elders who lead the church, and he is the first among equals. So our quality or our equality is equal. Our standing is equal in terms of our abilities and our calling. However, he is the one who is at first responsible for our body. It's not just Pastor Hiroshi, but there's Pastor Daida, then also who was pastoring the deaf members. This is something I think all of us need to know. There's Pastor Hideko, who is Hiroshi's mother, who had to lead this church while her husband passed away and while Hiroshi was growing up and studying. Let's see, I think that's it. Am I missing anybody, Kevin? Suppose the elders? Those are the what we would call the elders or the pastors. And then serving under the elders would be the deacons. And deacons are people who are not in elder position. They are not subordinate in a sense that they're lesser, but they serve as the right hand of the pastors. And so the deacons' first ministry, if you look in Acts chapter 6, were the people who cared mainly for the poor, who did the acts of service to the community. So that the elders' main job was primarily to teach the Bible, to study the Bible, and to pray for you, and to pray for their people. That's my calling, and that's Pastor Hiroshi's calling, that's Pastor Kevin's calling. We study, and we teach, and we pray like crazy. And we labor for you, day and night. Pastor Kevin, I know, and Pastor Hiroshi, I think Pastor Hiroshi told me he wakes up 4:30 in the morning, every morning. That's his thing. And then Pastor Kevin, I know he gets up before Jesus wakes up as well, just to wake up the Lord and say, hey, let's talk about our people going crazy. They love to pray for you. I don't do that, okay? I pray for you in the middle of my day. That's the time I'm most awake and my mind is most functioning. And I take what we have in the bulletin. I don't take the bulletin to work with me. I know some of you do. But I have all my notes here in the bulletin, and I get it right here. And I remember those things that you say right here. And I lift them up, and I lift you up as often as I can. Because one thing the Lord taught me a few years ago, I was reading through Exodus, and Moses was leading Israel through the desert. They came upon an enemy that attacked them. And so what Moses had to do was get up on the mountain, and he held his hands over his people. And they just fought the whole time with their enemy. And they're just fighting and fighting and fighting. And Moses is just like this, praying for his people, standing between his people and God. Moses himself was a general. He was a very powerful leader, but he was just too old to fight by that time. So he had to fight with on his knees and his hands up. And he was fighting and fighting. And it got to the point where his hands were getting so tired, they had to be held up by his two assistants. But then God showed me, he said, Chris, if you are anything for my people at Mitaki, you are that. You can teach and preach, you can study, and that's very important. But if you're not doing this for your people every day, you're not doing your job. Fathers, husbands, if you're not doing this every day for your wife and for your kids, you're not doing your job. You're failing as a leader. You've got to be an elder and a pastor for your wife and your children every day. This is what we do. This is our calling from God. This is shepherding your flock. This is being an overseer. You're overseeing. And I just told you about Moses because it's not about Moses and it's not about you. I'm getting ahead of myself, but Moses is Jesus. Moses is a picture of Jesus. What Jesus does for us is this every day. It says it in Hebrews. It says it in Isaiah chapter 51. He lives to pray for his people all the time. He's always constantly praying for us. Okay, let's get back to the text. Be shepherds of God's flock under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing. Here is the first pitfall or the first danger of a leader. It is to be comfortable. It is to get lazy. It is to just have the people serving you and you not serving them. That's the first danger of leadership. Or if you become a supervisor, you sit in a nice chair and people are looking to you for decisions or actions and for direction, and you think, wow, this is kind of nice. They're here for me. That's a big mistake, Peter says. And it says under compulsion, that's a big mistake because you're doing it for comfort. When I was asked to be a pastor here, it wasn't Kevin saying, you need to get up off your butt and start working. He didn't say that. In fact, I came to him, and I sent him an email. I said, Kevin, I've gone through some testing in my life. I've gone through it. I think I'm ready to step up and do some more preaching. I didn't say I wanted to be a pastor. I said, I'm ready to do some more preaching. And Kevin and Hiroshi at that time were listening, because I preached about once a month at that time. And I was leading worship most of the time, and once a month I would preach because I had some Bible training. And I said, yeah, Pastor Kevin, I think I'm ready to preach maybe, you know, 2 or 3 times a month. I think that's what the Lord is telling me. And so I felt God's call on my life. And I wasn't asking to be on staff. I wasn't asking to be paid for it. In fact, I'm not paid for it. Just so you know, the church gives me and Naomi something in my box every month for what I do here. But it's not my livelihood. It's not something that pays my bills. And in fact, I've tried not to receive it. I've said, Pastor Hiroshi, I don't want this. I don't need it, and I don't want it. Please don't give it to me. And he says, it's not my decision. It's the church's decision. He says, it's their thanks to you. So I try to leave it out, and they keep putting it back in. So I said, okay, fine, Lord, just I'll take it. But it's not my compulsion. I'm not doing this because I'm getting paid to do this. I'm doing this because I feel God has called my life. And I think this is something that for some of us need to consider here, is that if you are considering being a deacon or being an elder, being someone in ministry, consider what God is speaking to you every day in your life. Consider it, because it's because you. I was right there where you are. One of my favorite prophets in the Old Testament is a prophet named Amos. Amos did not grow up in the temple. He was not a son of a prophet or a pastor. Amos was just a successful businessman. He was in the livestock business. He took care of shepherds. He also had an agricultural business. He had an orchard of figs. And he was a businessman, very successful. But God called him to be a prophet and said, go speak to somebody. And here's the thing. God told him to speak to people not even in his own country. He called him to be a missionary prophet. So he said, get up, go not to Judah, to Jerusalem, but go to Israel, the northern country, and speak to them. And so what they did was they tried to shut him up. Because he would go to the king of Israel, he said, you need to repent, you need to turn to God, you need to stop being a terrible king. And the priests were telling him, who are you? And who's paying for you? Why don't you just go back to where you came from Judah or whatever, and go preach to your people down there? He says, I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this because God called me to do this. Not even doing it for you, I'm doing it for God. And so he's not doing it under compulsion. Peter says, don't do it under compulsion, but do it willingly as the Lord has for you. That's the first pitfall, under compulsion. The second was not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Peter elaborates on this in 2 Peter chapter 2. I don't have time to get into it. But some people think, mistakenly, that because they can't be successful in any other thing, they can't keep a job in this area, or they can't get along with their coworkers at this job, or they just can't hold a job long enough to keep moving up, maybe God's calling me to ministry because I can't pay my bills any other way. That's a mistake. Not greedy for money. Not greedy for money. Read Proverbs before you think about getting into ministry. Because God, like I made one point and I said, maybe God is calling you. And you need to consider the circumstances and what God says to you in your life. But maybe God is not calling you. Maybe you think it's for the money. Or maybe you think it's for your family, your livelihood, whatever. That's wrong as well. And you need to be careful of that. Peter himself was a successful businessman. He had his fishing business, but Jesus called him into it. And Peter was given the opportunity many times to get paid. There was one time in the book of Acts where Jesus, who said, can you give me the spirit that you have, and I'll give you some money for it? And Peter says, man, your money's going to die with you if you think you can buy the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not up here. Pastor's not up here for the money we get. It's the calling and the Holy Spirit that's in us. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Verse 3. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. That's the third one. The third pitfall and the third solution. Not lording it over those entrusted to you. That means basically being a control freak, being a domineering personality, being a diva, being somebody who needs to be in the spotlight, being a director. I thought at one point I had to have my hands in everything. I came to church early. I set up the computer for the PowerPoint. I even had to lead worship, and I had to. I made sure all the copies were made for the worship team. Sometimes I thought I had to make the chart for who's doing what in our church, and I was going crazy because I thought I had to have my hands in everything. And the Lord, I've been here, a few years now pastoring, since 2006, so this is my fifth year. Every time God teaches me to let go more, God does more with his church. The more I just want to pray and read my Bible, the more everything else gets taken care of. Leaders, husbands, fathers, supervisors, managers, let go and let God. And I understand some of you are in way higher positions than I will ever have. Okay, and I'm at the bottom of the ladder where I'm at. I like it there. But even as a basketball coach, I face this temptation every week when I'm trying to coach my students, my players. There's one kind of coach that just has to be in control of every single aspect because he can't trust his players. But then there's another kind of coach that understands that leadership is one of two things. It's control or it's influence. And what has more power is not control, but influence. Because if people are under your control, all they're going to do is what's required of them. If it's their job, then they'll go in at 9 o'clock and they'll punch out at 5 o'clock. And they won't give you anything more because they're under your control. But if they're under your influence, if you're leading by example, if you're showing by leader, if you're leading by example, and they're seeing how you give all that you have and you're sacrificing and you love them, 9 to 5 is irrelevant. And trying to please you is irrelevant. But because it's an influence issue and not a control issue. It happens with me and my wife even, and me and my kids. I want to be in control, and Jesus says, don't try to control. Love them, be an example, and be an influence over them. My job here at Mitaki more than it calling you and checking up. Are you reading your Bible? Are you having Bible studies? Are you doing small groups? All that silly stuff. My job, Jesus is telling me in 1 Timothy chapter 2, is be a good husband, be a great father, and be a good worker. Lead by that example. And don't let anybody look down on you for being young. But that's me. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Okay, so he's given us his qualification for the appeal. He's giving us the appeal, those three pitfalls. Peter himself has gone under those. But now, my brothers, my sisters, this is the best part of the sermon. Who is it that we lead? And who is it ultimately that we are following? And when the chief shepherd, capital C, capital S, appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. This closes it up perfectly. Peter in verse 1 talks about being a fellow elder because he knows that there is a greater elder, the ultimate elder, who is Jesus, and he calls him the ultimate chief shepherd. That's Jesus Christ. Jesus is the pastor of this church. We are the members of his flock. Just one thing I just really want to show you. If what I've said so far has made you feel, I don't know, inadequate, like accusatory, you're not doing your job if you don't do this. You're failing as a husband. You're being a bad father for not praying and all that kind of stuff. There's Jesus. He never failed us. He never let us down. He was the perfect leader. He never controlled us. He gave us all the freedom to choose for him. He is the ultimate leader. And in every pitfall, he conquered. The pitfall or the temptation to be comfortable, he passed that test. Turn these stones into bread. He said, no, man does not live by bread alone. He passed that test for us. The temptation for money, the temptation for fame, the temptation for esteem, he passed that test for us. The devil said, bow down to me, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. He said, no, I'm not going to do that. Get behind me. He did it for us. He was the perfect leader. The temptation for power and control. He said, no, I'm up on the cross. And no one lays my life, no one takes my life, but I lay it down for my friends. He did it for us. He was the perfect leader, the ultimate leader. And every time that we fail, as people who are responsible for others, every time that we fail, are insufficient, or are inadequate as fathers, husbands, or as pastors, elders, or managers, or supervisors, his grace is sufficient because he's the chief shepherd. And so what do I ask you to do as your fellow brother? Go to Jesus every single time. Make him your chief shepherd every day. And submit to him. Submit to your chief shepherd. Bring everything to him. He is your daily bread. He is your air that you breathe. He is everything that you need. Your strength, your wisdom, your vitality. He is your influence. He is the words. He knows how to make people fall in line. He knows how to orchestrate things in your office. He knows how to help you navigate through difficult decisions. He is the chief shepherd. Go to Jesus. Please, go to him. Go to Jesus. I love it because I'm not getting paid to do this, so I don't need to be your friend. I don't need you to like me. I want you to like me, but I don't need you to like me because I'm living for eternity. I'm living for a crown that you can't give me. I'm living for something that only Jesus can give me. And that's the crown of glory. So I don't need to be called pastor, or sensei. I don't need that. I like it, okay? But there's something that Jesus is going to give me, and I can't wait. I just can't wait. But it's heavy. It's heavy. This calling, this ministry, it's a joy, but it's also something that I tremble at. It's humbling. Because it says in James, no one should aspire to be a teacher because you're going to get judged doubly. But for those who persevere and continue through Jesus, you're going to get a crown that you can lay at his feet someday. And I look forward to that. So be encouraged, fathers. Be encouraged, husbands. Be encouraged, supervisors, managers. Be encouraged, mothers. Be encouraged. Live in Jesus. Walk with Jesus. And he is your chief shepherd. Amen. I want to ask Makiko. Makiko, no. All right, Troy, come on. Get us ready for our closing song. Would you pray with me? Meditate for a moment. How is your motivation to be a father, a husband, a leader, a supervisor, a mother? Who have you not submitted to? How do you need to change to follow Jesus? How do you need to repent? How do you need to come? I just invite you to come. Come to Jesus. Just come to him. Give him your anxiety. Give him your thoughts of the office and your coworkers. Give him your family. Give him all as your chief shepherd. Love him. Worship him. Trust him. Submit to him. And watch how he receives you. He gives you grace. Nothing but grace. Lord, Father, we thank you for Jesus, our chief shepherd. Jesus, we submit to you and your spirit. Holy Spirit, we ask you to fill us, Lord, that in every way that we fall short or are insufficient, that you would be more than sufficient and that you would cover those things, Lord God. I pray here, Lord, specifically for the fathers, the husbands, the leaders, the supervisors. Lord, anyone who is responsible for another person, oh, Lord, change our hearts. Renew us, Lord. Make us steadfast like you are. Make us humble like you are. Bring us closer to you, Lord. And Father, for these things we will thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.